God knows everything, past, present, and future. And yet, at the same time, the Lord as a person, because the Lord is an internal person, not a limited person in any way, but because he's entirely personal, as I've said many times, and I'll say it again, God is love. Love cannot be non-personal. You can't say to someone, I love you, but in a completely impersonal way. There's nothing about you that actually attracts me, but I love you. It wouldn't map any meaning, it would be like an absolute contradiction in terms. Now, how is love expressed in personal relationships? If you're with someone who's all-knowing, you know the all-knowing, he knows he's all-knowing, then it's like, what kind of, think about the loving exchange that you have. Pretty much it's going to be very much choked up with your own reverence. You wouldn't be able to help it, right? And imagine that. I often thought if someone knew everything I thought, I'd be in trouble. I don't know, I think I remember seeing on, I think it was Gilligan's Island, one time, they ate this berry that made them able to read each other's minds. I really remember seeing that. And they just fought and fought and fought the whole time. And so somehow or other, I think Marianne or someone tossed the berries. So they wouldn't be able to know what it is. What they're really, you know, though you say one thing and think something else, right? And so imagine that, like in a sense, before the Lord, and he knows absolutely everything about you. You know, it would make you feel pretty crummy, pretty small. So out of his mercy, and also because he enjoys it, he loves to reciprocate, and his reciprocations are authentic. And he doesn't impose on a person's mind, even though he knows everything, if he wants to. He knows the heart exactly, and yet he can deal with people as though he doesn't know. Sometimes he revealed that he did, just like with the woman of the well. He knew everything about her, and she realized it was like such a powerful thing. He knows everything. I just saw this, but he knew everything about me. So sometimes he reveals that about himself. There's different times. Here he's knowing, not only that he's going to be betrayed, but the person is going. He also knows Peter is going to deny him three times. And he purifies Peter. He lets Peter know that he knows. So again, he's revealing something. And it's a bit scary, isn't it? For Peter, imagine that's a bit scary. And imagine, I'm trying to jump ahead to Morning Thursday, but imagine how scary it would have been when he actually did what the Lord said and remembered the words of the Lord. Boom, his ear. That really freaked him out. And Judas as well. Judas, you know, Judas is not unlike the rest of us. You can imagine, I was thinking of putting myself in Judas's place. I probably would have betrayed the Lord, you know, Judas betrayed him in 3 years. I reckon it would take me about a week to 10 days. You know, because think about it, you know, Judas, his character was ironed out by the Lord. He was with the Lord, he was being trained by the Lord. He was a sincere follower of the Lord. And it's by divine arrangement that these servants of the Lord were covered. We're all covered by illusion, but sometimes the Lord covers someone in such a way that they'll do exactly what he wants to carry out something. And I'm not talking about just ordinary things. I'm talking about people who are like seriously engaged in God's service and really connecting with God in their heart. He'll cover them in such a way that they'll say something that he can give them instruction. They'll do something that they'll learn something by. Now, if we have that, if we dare to take up discipleship of the Lord, and we, you know, in, which we have, I think we have to do every day. I think we have to renew it every day, because otherwise we forget. It's our tendency to forget. Lord, I'm your disciple. And then you just forget. And then, hang on. Was I the Lord's disciple? Oh yeah, I think I was. And then you have to sort of like, you know, sort of reaffirm that kind of vow again and again and again and again and again. And that's because we tend to forget. And now if we do have that endeavor to remember the Lord, to remember that we're the Lord's servant, that we're a servant of the Lord's servant, then we'll find sometimes the Lord will do things that will help us. It'll chasten us. The Lord will do things that will correct us. The Lord will do things that will enliven us. All of those different things will be done for us. That we can actually improve, you know, it's like purifying gold if it was compared to, that we can actually improve our situation in his in our eternal life with the Lord. He's preparing us basically for being in His presence all the time, where we're happy to be shaped and transformed by Him specifically, and it's a very intense experience. It's not something that's very light. You look what these guys went through in Holy Week, it was extremely intense. There's no other way to describe it. And even being with the Lord all the time over those 3 years would have been very intense. But this week, we can even imagine the intensity of what they had to go through. And we're only on Tuesday. We haven't even reached Wednesday yet. And yet already on Tuesday, you can see the Lord just knowing exactly what's going to happen, and He's starting to put the players into position. They don't know. They're wondering what He's saying. They're even wondering, who is it? Each one of them, when the Lord said, someone will deny me, will betray me tonight, and they all thought, oh no, I'm going to betray the Lord. Every one of them would have thought, uh-oh, this is dreadful. And so much so that John, who would have been very young at the time, he had to ask twice, who is it? Can you tell us who it is? He really wanted to know, just in case it was him. He would have been devastated. The Lord said, well, now that you ask, it's you. It made you feel pretty bad, didn't it? And luckily, when he said, the person I'll give this to after I dip it in the oil. But Judas didn't have the word. You know, he just looked, oh, thanks for the bread, no worries. You know, but there's something or other by the Lord's arrangement and by their desire for, preserving their life, basically, as they saw the Lord becoming a fugitive and a wanted person, and that they were also becoming fugitives and that their lives were threatened, then it was under that type of pressure, and the Lord knew exactly how they were going to respond to that pressure, as He knows how we're going to respond to that pressure. And it's really by His grace that we can become successful in the end, because that's what happened with Peter and others in the end. And I'm sure Judas as well, in the end, became successful, because the Lord never actually, despite the threats of the church over the years, the Lord never eternally condemns anyone. The soul is eternal. Sooner or later, you can take the long road or we can take the short road, but sooner or later, we'll end up at the feet of the Lord.